So you gotta start by saying who we are.
Is it on?
Is it on?
She's trying to trick me.
Yeah, it is.
Unless she took the light off, so you can't tell.
Oh no! Well, this is Hooked on Veg. My name is Jess.
Hello, Monica.
And we're also here with Sasha. Say hello.
Hello.
Me and Monica are sisters, and Sasha's her girlfriend, and we're starting up an awesome new website all about vegan and vegetarianism. Not only that, but recipes and quick, easy ways to do it, and, you know, maybe 30-minute meals, kind of like Rachel Ray style, just so people kind of get the idea that it's a little bit easier than it used to be. And this is kind of, we want it to become kind of like a community, a place where people can reach out to us.
And there's a wide variety of foods other than just people think vegetarians only eat salads, and you start going cultural, there's a wide variety of meals and dishes that you can try.
Well, I really just want to kind of dispel some of those myths and see who we can help, because I think if a lot more people knew the advantages and disadvantages in eating meat, that maybe they would kind of switch and, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, I know I became a vegetarian about 2-3 years ago, and it was really for health reasons, because I have a stomach disease which causes me to have a hard time digesting meat. Some people can say, oh, well, then that's obvious. That's an obvious choice for you to kind of just go on and say, oh yeah, that's why I'm a vegetarian. I never went full vegan. I know you did. You guys were vegan for a while. I don't even know how long.
Yeah, I started off vegetarian and I just full blown went vegan. There's a lot of vegan foods that are good, but then you're missing out on cheese and eggs and.
What's the thing with vegan cheese?
It's crappy. They have not perfected vegan cheese.
Not good.
Well, why is it this? Like, I've heard people tell me before, it's just because it doesn't melt.
No, it has a weird.
It doesn't melt, but that's not the reason it's not good.
They lie on the packages. They always say it melts, but it never does.
So I've had one vegan cheese before that I thought was pretty good, called Daiya cheese, and that one, it didn't necessarily melt, but it molded.
No.
And I know you guys haven't tried that yet. But I think that was probably, of all the vegan cheeses that I've heard of, that's the one that I've heard that has probably the best taste. Although I'm not 100% sure, because I really haven't tried a whole lot. Well,
we've tried the vegan cheese, the sour cream, and the cream cheese, and they all have a weird aftertaste.
Like a weird aftertaste. Is that like the side effect of the ingredients?
I guess so. Like, a lot of vegan foods are really good, but I think what's hardest is being around most people that are not vegan. And then everybody's having a certain type of food, and then it's hard to kind of,
so it's like going to a barbecue and bringing your own food to the barbecue.
Right. I think that was the hardest for me, is that I had to be around a lot of people that didn't eat the same thing I did. Or it's hard enough just being vegetarian and being, you know, a little different than everybody, and then going, like, hardcore vegan, kind of, like, feel a lot out of place because a lot of people don't understand. Especially that. I think that's one of the worst things. A lot of people don't understand and they give you a hard time about it. Oh, you have to eat meat and this and that, and the whole misconception of you're never going to get enough protein, you're never getting enough calcium. And that's true. Huh?
Mom and the choline and the eggs.
Yeah, you're never getting choline. But there's different sources for all of these.
So basically, you know, you go through this in high school, you leave, and then you put yourself through this again.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, just one big vicious cycle.
I mean, you know, you purposefully decided that you wanted to become 100% different than everybody else. Especially right. Being in a Spanish family where we're very meat driven, and, you know, right. Everything's, you know, you gotta eat more food, and if you're not, you know.
And I think that's one of the hardest things about it was I always felt so different and I'm always so out of place that I wanted to, you know, fit in a little bit. So that was my hardest part. But, like, at home and going to the grocery store, I generally don't buy a lot of, you know, like, milk, dairy products or eggs, and try to stick more to the vegan. But when I go out, you know, I'll
make the exception for restaurants.
Exactly.
So how is it to eat in restaurants? Because I know for me, it's always just been like, okay, you look at a menu in a restaurant, they always have everything that has meat in it, and every section of the menu, there's always one thing that doesn't have meat in it. Which is always what I went for. So out of the appetizers, always like the fried mozzarella, and for the entrees, it's always a fish or a salad, and, you know, like, of that kind of stuff.
Well,
you know, how is that different being a vegan going and doing that? Because I know a lot of those things are made with milk and eggs and cheese and things that you guys kind of
Well, I mean, there's two things about it. When you go to, like, a huge company or a huge restaurant, then, you know, it's a little bit more difficult, and you kind of just, you know, have to stay away from anything that has cheese or anything. But a lot of times I would try to go to a little more family-owned restaurants, and they'll make the accommodations for you, or, like, little Asian restaurants, and, you know, they're more willing to change things for you. And
Sorry, Monica is got to have something in her hand. She's a little bit nervous, I think, and she just keeps moving things around. I think we're going to have to put mittens on her hand to keep her from making noise. That's okay. It's okay. It's just because they're going to hear these little dee, 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 dee.
What is that?
Exactly.
Just a little nervous first time.
But also, if you try different cultural foods, if you try different restaurants like Indian places or ethnic places, you find a lot of great vegetarian and vegan selections.
Well, I know that I really kind of attached to, like, Greek food.
Yeah.
They have a lot of good stuff.
And going for the hummus. And I was like, wow, it's a whole other food that I've never eaten
stuff
before.
With hummus.
And you can make...
And falafels.
Falafels are, like, a huge thing, and they're hugely filling, too, when you eat them. And it's almost like tricking yourself, like, this is meat.
Yeah.
I like this. It looks like a meat.
That's another thing, mocking your favorite foods to make them vegetarian or vegan.
Like, I used to love meatball subs, but the meat's so bad, you take falafels and put it in red sauce, and it almost gives you the same kind of feeling, and it tastes great.
Wasn't a lot of it just texture?
Yeah, a lot of texture. You know, the way you season it is very important. Tons of different seasonings, fresh herbs, or just a powder seasoning. It's all the way you make your food is the way.
So you make your food taste like meat, essentially.
Almost. Not necessarily meat, because I, you know, once I left meat, I didn't really miss it. So for me, it wasn't a big thing to make it taste like meat.
So you're trying to tell me, okay, because we're going to have people out there listening saying, oh, well, that's BS, because I can tell the difference in a meat. And something's going to taste like a meat, it's going to taste like a meat.
Right.
But you just didn't miss it?
I mean,
like,
I know.
You don't, like, when you first gave it up, you crave it?
I did.
She did. And I did not. Like, not at all. I don't ever crave it. Now, you know, I've craved things that aren't necessarily good for you before. I've craved sweets or that. But I haven't ever craved meat again. Once I stopped, I was completely just over with it.
See, because I know I crave chicken wings, and
well,
still too sometimes.
But they have
and every once in a while, I might have a skin off of a chicken, just a little piece. I don't really want the chicken; I just like the flavor.
But they have
people.
But
have you ever? But have you ever tried the substitutes? I mean,
of what?
Of chicken wings. They have chicken wing substitutes.
They don't have bones in them.
No.
You gonna make substitute bones for me too?
Well, make boneless chicken wings.
But I want boneless chicken wings to begin with. Like, I was never one of those people that was like, I hate the bone. I wanted to rip the stuff off the bone. It's like a primal urge. It's like a primal urge to, like, take my aggression out
on
this dead piece of crap that I want. I stuffed in my mouth.
I think you're at, like, a whole other level of
that. Since she watches Jurassic Park and she wants to shred something.
I've always thought that I'm a more masculine woman. Not in the sense that I look like a man, but
more aggressive, maybe.
Well, I'm more feminine and delicate, so I guess I don't understand it from your point of view.
But, you know, like, I've always had those, you know, even in the profession and stuff that I want to get into, I want to go into film. I watch a lot of movies, and a lot of movies are dominated by men, and I agree with that, and I relate to it. Although, you know, I look at it and I go, I shouldn't be relating to this. I'm a woman. Why don't I like any of these stupid chick flicks? Or maybe they're just made really stupid and not, you know, whatever. So I feel like that, you know, when it comes to when I first quit eating meat, I lost that, like, primal, like, oh, where am I supposed to take my aggression
out? Oh, take it on other things, you know, get a punching bag and
start exercising. I did start exercising at that point. I had to see a nutritionist for about 6 months before I was 100% comfortable not eating meat. Because I didn't really understand the places of where to get them, of how to make the food, to get all the substitutions and everything, because there was nobody, there's no, you know, like, I mean, there's 65 million websites out there that all have different things to say, and none of them combined everything you need to know.
All right. Well, I mean, I did a lot of research when I became vegetarian and vegan, and research and research and research, and you kind of just take all of what you read and make it into your own, you know, judgment and go from there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there is no place for people to go and be like, I don't even know, like, does this consider me a vegan if I'm eating this thing, is inhabited in it, or, you know, like, what is it to have, like, what do I need to substitute the whatever stuff that's in beef that everybody always talks about? I don't know, what is that called? There's, like, something in beef that we need.
B12.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't think it's B12, it's something else. But there's something in meat and in different kinds of foods that we need, and who tells you where, you know, where you're gonna get it from? And what if you don't live in a place that has like a Monster Whole Foods or some little place that you can sit down and talk to somebody and ask them, like, oh, what are the supplements and, you know, vitamins that I need to make sure that my life, that I don't, you know, lose it, blah, 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 blah. Like, some people don't have that kind of stuff, which is just kind of the reason why we wanted to start this to begin with.
We'll have more of an inclusive website. You can put a lot of stuff since we've done so much research on it.
Well, and that's the one thing about it is, it's like, you don't have to, you can take all that information in your head and put it on a piece of paper now, and put it in the wood, put it on the internet, put it on Facebook, put it on Twitter, so people actually have a place to go, and they don't have to do all that research that you did. You know, they don't have to pay for a nutritionist like I did. They can... and kind of skip all that and get on with their life a little bit faster than what we had to go through when
makes
we started
the transition
this.
A little bit easier.
Well, yeah, I mean, why in this day and age when there's so much information out there that there can't be a place for people to kind of get together and talk about and kind of get all this stuff together? Because I know you've made amazing recipes that don't look like they're vegan or vegetarian, but they completely can be, and they look exactly like chicken parmesan, you know, it's, and it looks and tastes just as good. It's not exactly like chicken, but it's, you know,
it's a decent substitute.
Yeah, I mean, if, like you said, once I got to a point now where, like, I don't crave meat anymore. I don't even know what the taste, like, I know what the smell smells like, and if somebody makes my Morningstar burger on the grill with meat, yeah, it gets a little bit of the flavoring into it, but it's not like I'm going, oh my god, I need that. I need that meat. I've gotten the taste for it now. Like, it doesn't work like that, you know? Like, I think once you get to a certain point, and it's just like, it's habit and repetition, you kind of have to retrain yourself on how to be a brand new person. It's like, oh, this is now my lifestyle. It's almost like quitting drugs or doing, you know, something, or like not smoking cigarettes anymore. It's like, you have to retrain yourself on like how not to do these things anymore. Because I know, especially because I had this growing up, that I was huge on eating my feelings and having that kind of a mentality of like comfort foods, which everyone has a comfort food, something they run to when they're upset or when they're not feeling well, and kind of changing those foods for yourself. Because like, I still will go to fried mozzarella sticks, you know. But thankfully, those were there for me before I quit meat. So it's not that huge of a transition. But,
yeah. You
know, I'll get upset and I'll want to eat a whole tub of ice cream. And that's not good regardless.
But at least there's better, you know, there's healthier options. You know, like for ice cream, I turn to ice cream. I love ice cream. But instead I get a specific one. What is it called?
Forget the company that makes it, name. They make it with coconut milk, so it doesn't actually have the coconut flavor.
And the actual ingredients.
But it makes it super creamy,
it's,
and it's really
like
healthy.
Vanilla ice cream, but it's my favorite ice cream, and I always turn to that.
Well, and I think that's a huge thing for us. When we were growing up, our grandparents owned an ice cream shop that we would go to all the time, and we kind of stayed in Key West in the summers where they had this ice cream shop and would work there. And I think this love of ice cream, for me at least, and I'm sure for you.
Oh, no, me too.
Comes
that's
from
the one thing I always turned to is ice cream.
This idea that we kind of grew up with huge tubs of ice cream and like hanging out in this horrible sweatshop like ice cream parlor, you know, in the middle of Key West in the dead heat of the summer, which I mean, even compared to this heat is nothing, like, global warming is killing us now, but I mean, I think that everyone has that from when they were a kid. There's something that they attach some kind of memory to that it's almost like you feel like you can't give it up. And I know a lot of people kind of have that attachment to meat, where it's like, oh, I, you know, how am I supposed to give up something that I feel so strongly about that it's like it ties you to your childhood almost, you know?
Well, I mean, even if you have that one thing, let's say it's not necessarily meat, but like a sweet, and it's just, you can always still turn to it, but just have a smaller amount. You know, it's true about the moderation thing. You don't want to overdo it, but, you know, you shouldn't turn to it when you're upset, but incorporate it into your life, like, once a week. Like, do really well for the whole week, and then reward yourself. You shouldn't necessarily reward yourself with food. You should reward yourself more with, you know, buy yourself a new shirt or a new outfit and go out for the weekend or... But if you, you know, every once in a while you need that little cupcake that you remember from when your mom used to make it, or, you know, enjoy it, but don't have the whole batch. Just have one cupcake.
So you're saying instead of using food and eating your feelings, become a shopaholic.
No. You know, I'm just saying you have to reward yourself.
Yeah, but reward yourself in other ways.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't have to be clothes. It could be anything. You can go out with friends for the weekend or invite people over and, you know, try a new meal that's delicious, so, but you've never tried before, but it's healthy, and, you know, have people around you to enjoy it with you. And
well, because I know a lot in Latin communities, and I'm not sure how big it's, you know, it's kind of died a little bit here in America, but food and, like, eating around a table is really social interaction. I know for me, because I don't live near family right now, going out to eat with my friends is a huge deal, because it's like, one, we don't have a whole lot of time, so everybody has the time for one meal, so we're going to sit down and have a meal together, and it's a good chance to kind of hang out with people. You're not working, you're not in school, you're not doing anything, you kind of get a chance to kind of just chill and hang out. So then you want to go out and you want to do something with them, and yeah, it is kind of rewarding yourself with food. It's kind of a big thing that we've grown accustomed to, not only here, but also in other cultures, you know, and it's I think kind of understanding the difference between going out and being social at a restaurant and using the restaurant to be social should be different. You know, like, you can be social with someone regardless whether you go and eat at a restaurant or you sit there and watch other people eat, or you go somewhere else.
Why can't you go and just have a small bit of an appetizer? You don't have to have the appetizer, the entree, the dessert. You know, go have an appetizer, have a good time, and then either eat before or eat after when you go home. A lot of people tend to make food their whole world instead of, you know, just making it a part of your life.
Well, I know that evolutionary, like, it's something we need to live.
Right, and you have to, you should enjoy it each time you eat it, but, you know, people put such an emphasis on it.
But have you ever sat down and had a meal and you're just like, yes, this is what I've been waiting for, and you just enjoy it, and you just sit there? I mean, because I do that.
I do that, I love food, so... I know.
I mean, just the act of just, like, I wrap my whole day around, like, what am I going to eat? What time am I going to eat it? And making sure that I eat. Now, there is some times that I get really stressed out or I'm working so much that I almost don't eat and I have to force myself to. And I know that's wrong. Like, you should eat at least once every 2 hours. And it has to be, you know, I went from eating really big meals when I was in college to working and starting off smaller, because I don't have a whole lot of time to eat a whole big meal in my 15-minute, 30-minute break. You know, so I kind of learned, okay, every 2 to 3 hours, I'm going to eat a little bit of the meal that I made. Make a big meal and eat parts of it. That's kind of how I like, became accustomed to it.
Well, I mean, you're supposed to eat smaller meals throughout the day, though. It's, you know, a lot healthier to eat 6 meals a day, very small meals, than to eat 3 huge meals a day. It's harder on your body to do it the other way. So, you know, you came accustomed to it, maybe not for the right reason, but it ended up being more beneficial.
Well, that's cool. I think we've covered a lot.
And this is pretty good for our first time.
So we've kind of covered and talked about a little bit of our experience and how we kind of got into this. And then maybe next time we can start talking about how maybe other people can move in the direction we've been moving in if they really choose to, or at least dispel some of the myths. And if anybody has any questions or comments, feel free to email us at hookedonveg@gmail.com. You can visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/hookedonveg. Like our page, follow us on Twitter, same thing, twitter.com/hookedonveg. best way to get in contact with us is probably through one of those three things. And yeah, we'll be out there, hopefully starting up our website really soon, and we're going to have some really cool products and things to kind of get everything going and maybe get a discussion and forum board so people can really kind of get in contact and get a really nice community going of people who, you know, not just us, but other people who know these kind of things. And we're going to try and build a network here, because I think that where some people have kind of bonded together, that we can still do a lot more bonding, especially if we're going to help and try to get rid of some of the problems that we've seen just in our own lives that have been mimicked in a more larger scale in our society. All right, well, I guess until next time, this is Jess,
Monica,
Sasha,
and we're Hooked on Veg, so we'll see you next time.